All right, you guys, I am currently struggling with a pinched nerve in my neck, and if you have ever had one, you know the pain. So I am feeling super thankful for today's sponsor, Tenassi. Tenassi's CBD CBDA is 2 times better than CBD alone and better than over-the-counter ibuprofen, acetaminophen, and aspirin. It helps soothe and relieve my aches and pains, like my pinched nerve, and it's great for sleep and anxiety, so I put it on right before bed. Tenassi was discovered by a team of chemists and biologists at Middle Tennessee State University, and 5% of all revenue is given back to the university partner for ongoing research. It is THC-free and comes in a range of products. I love the topicals, but you can also choose from soft gels, gummies, and tinctures. Satisfaction is guaranteed. Try Tenassi for 30 days, and if you don't love it, you get a full refund. Go to Tenassi.com and use code MOM to get 25% off at checkout. That's TANASI.com to get 25% off your first order with promo code MOM.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hi, welcome to the Sober Mom Life podcast. I'm your host, Suzanne, of My Kind of Sweet and the Sober Mom Life on Instagram. If you are a mama who has questioned your relationship with alcohol at times, if you're wondering if maybe it's making motherhood harder, this is for you. I will be having candid, honest, funny conversations with other moms who have also thought, maybe motherhood is better without alcohol. Is it possible? We'll chat and we'll talk about all things sobriety and how we've found freedom in sobriety. I don't consider myself an alcoholic. You don't have to either. And maybe life is brighter without alcohol. I hope you will join us on this journey, and I'm so excited to get started. Okay. I am so excited, you guys. We're taking just a little break from the Real Sober Mom chats, and I promise you, you won't be disappointed, especially if you are a Bravo fan, because my friend Katie, she has been on the podcast before. She has shared her story on the Real Sober Mom chats. She is involved in some reality TV in that world, but more the off-camera talent, let's say. I don't know, guys. I'm being vague and I know it, but she is here today and we're going to do this once a month. We are going to, I think we're going to call it sobriety, like spill the tea. Get it? Sobriety. And we talk all about Bravo today. So we talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We talk about Kyle not drinking, how her friends reacted to it, or her coworkers, let's be honest. We talk about Summer House. We go there with Carl and Lindsay. We talk about Vanderpump. We talk all about it. And we're going to do this once a month. So we're going to reconnect one Friday a month to talk all about what's going on in reality TV as far as sobriety goes, and then anything else we want to talk about with reality TV. This is a really good, you know, escape. Sometimes you don't just want to hear about sobriety and alcohol all the time. Bravo, as you know, is always my escape. And so I think that this is a really fun departure, but still having to do with sobriety. So I hope you enjoy this episode. I had so much fun recording with Katie. And yes, stay tuned for more. Okay, Katie. Katie, we're going to talk. Okay, I think we're going to call this the Bravo Escape, right? Like, this is the Bravo Escape series.
Or is it the sobriety?
The sobriety? Katie, I see how your mind works and I like it. Yes, the sobriety. Well, we wanted to talk about Bravo because, first of all, because there's so much to talk about. And also, we talk about it. Like, we talk about it on the calls, in the cafe, on my Instagram. We talk about Bravo all the time because it's a really big part of our lives. Like, I could talk about sobriety all day long, but I feel like I could talk about Bravo all day long too.
You even mentioned it in your introductions to the Sober Mom Life, you know.
Yes, you're right. The Real Sober Mom Chats.
Yeah.
It's like the soap opera of the 80s, right? Of It's like the Dynasty, the Dallas, the – what is it, Dallas?
I'm a little too young.
Oh, my God.
I'm 36. I'm 36.
Wait, you're 26?
36. 36.
Oh, my God. I was like, what? Okay, no, 36.
I know, Dallas, Days of Our Lives, The Young and the Restless.
Yes. Just to be clear, I'm not that old that I watched
Dallas. We were in school when the soaps were on. We didn't have time to watch the soaps.
Yeah, we didn't have time. I don't even think my mom watched them, which is also why she just turns her nose up to Bravo, too. I'm like, Mom, you just don't understand. You don't understand that it's like...
I feel like your mom would love it from like a sociological...
Yes.
Anthropological?
It's like all of the relationships and how they relate to each other. And yes, I think it's fascinating. I also love it because it's a really good way to look at alcohol and to watch it without... having it like in my ecosystem, I'll just watch it.
Yep. It's a good escapism. You're right. You like follow the drama. It's a good character study. Like there's fashion, there's humor, there's travel, there's messiness.
Yes. There's bad fashion in the case of, so many of them. In the case of who comes to mind, bad fashion. Wait, I was just thinking about one the other day. I was like, God, she really thinks. Wait, hold on. Who was it? No, I don't remember who it was.
I love that all the reunion looks for all the shows. Like, it's such a big, there's always a theme.
There's like a reveal that gets leaked like beforehand too.
Yeah. The Miami house this year looked amazing.
So good. But Larsa was like, she looked like the queen of like.
Oh, Queen of Hearts.
Yes, Queen of Hearts. Is that what it was supposed to be?
I don't know.
And then Adriana was like Frida Kahlo or something.
Yeah, something like that. It's always a look, a show.
Miami was so good. Okay, let's get in. Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to talk. Katie, you said, first, you have been on the Real Sober Mom chats. And in that chat, that's when I learned you're connected in the Bravo world behind the scenes. We're not going to go into exactly how or what or who or why. But there's some connection, guys. Okay, so Katie's connected.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say I work in the world of reality television, but just with behind the camera people. So I'm very much on the periphery, you know. But I'm also a fan of the shows, so it's always fun when I watch these things, and if I know people who touch on the shows, just saying, hey, what's the deal with this or what's the deal with that, you know, not in a way that breaks any confidentiality, but just again, sort of as a fan.
I mean, it's cool that like you're a fan and that's your business too. That's probably the cool place to be.
Yeah.
You guys go listen to Katie's episode because she talks about Saturday Night Live too.
Sometimes you don't want to know how the sausage is made, but sometimes it's fun.
I feel like with reality TV, I want to know it all though.
I would preface this by saying that like, I think everybody for the most part who signs up for a reality TV show knows what they're getting into. You look at a network man, you say, I'm going on a Bravo show, I can expect X, Y, and Z. I'm going on I'm going on Survivor. I can't expect to be like, okay, where's my bed and my down comforter? Like, you know what you're signing up for a little bit.
Yes, which is why I would never sign up for it. Like, I would never do any sort of Bravo show for sure. Never. Would you?
No. It's a different way of life than I think. We've found our calm and our zen.
Seriously. And then it does get into the what's life, what's not for them, right? Like Kyle's been on Real Housewives for like 13 years. And you think about 13 years or 13 seasons or whatever of your life, like what's real and what's not for her? Like that is just too big of a mind fuck for me.
And the level of scrutiny these people are subject to because of social media and just being in the public eye, it's unrelenting and it's exhausting. And, you know, it's like you can't even post something or take a picture or make a comment. Like, you know, a great example was when Sheena posted that picture of all of them in Tahoe.
Yes.
And the internet went crazy. He was like, how dare you? It's like, this girl just wanted a birthday picture.
Totally. And it's like they're missing the, like, that layer in between the public and them that, like, A-list celebrities have, right? Like, they have, like, built-in teams where they're probably not even doing their socials. Like, Taylor Swift isn't seeing mean comments about her, right? She's above it. Like, she's, but the reality stars, like, they're seeing that and they're actually maybe posting, even if they have social media teams, like, they're still seeing that. Yeah, that's brutal.
Yeah.
I can't. Okay. You came with an outline. You said, you were like, I have an outline of what we're about to talk about. And I was like, Katie, you are my kind of person because I love it. We're probably going to stick with, okay, so Vanderpump for sure. We have to talk about Vanderpump. We have to talk about Summer House. Oh my God.
I can't, 100%.
I can't wait. And obviously Bev Hills because the reunion just kind of wrapped up. Where should we start?
Let's go Bev Hills first.
Okay. Let's go Bev Hills.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you like this season overall?
I did. You know, you're hard pressed to find a season I don't like. If I don't like the season, I'm probably not going to watch the whole thing.
Yes.
But I think, at least for me personally, the Kyle's, you know, sobriety journey was obviously just, you know, for a lot of us looking at it, going, oh, I recognize this and that. And the fact that it wasn't a rock bottom moment for her. And she said, you know, I feel depressed when I drink and I can't afford to feel depressed right now. The yeah. woman planned a wine tour for everybody else. Like, clearly, you know.
Right? And a weed dinner.
Yeah, yeah. Be like, look, I'm still cool. But she also said, she's like, I don't really care about this stuff, but clearly it's important to these other people.
That's a really good point. Like, that she felt like she had to do that. Because her friends, and I'm going to use friends in quotes, I think we need to call them coworkers, right? Like, they're not, these people aren't like friends off camera, do you think?
I think some of them, yes. Some of them, no. I mean, how many times do you hear them say, I haven't seen them since we wrapped shooting? Right.
I haven't seen you since New York.
Yeah, exactly. Then there's other people I'm sure that they're, you know, friends with, but.
Yeah. But they overall, like, the response to Kyle not drinking, it was really interesting because it was like such a, it was what we experience in real life. And we just got to see it play out on camera of her friends really at first being confused. Like, wait, oh, you're still, as Garcelle said, doing this mocktail thing? And Dorit says, it's just so unsustainable. Hold on. Not drinking alcohol and working out every day, that's unsustainable?
It was Sutton who said, I miss the old Kyle.
Yes. And like the splits and the hair thing, like, yes, they were all like really thrown for a loop. I thought it was interesting too that Sutton at first didn't say anything. And that really highlighted to me that alcohol, the alcohol conversation for her is off limits. Like, she's not going to talk about it right away.
Well, then there's that like really awkward moment when the camera catches her pouring half a cup of vodka. You know, like, the camera doesn't lie. And that's the kind of, you know, scrutiny you open yourself up to when you do let those cameras in your life, because they're going to catch it all. This is authentic. You know, it's the good, the bad, and the ugly. And you're right. I think when people stop drinking, you know, the response from others is, well, I don't drink that way. It becomes all about them.
Yeah.
They think somebody else making a change is a reflection on their own life. And that was so perfectly displayed this past season.
Yes, it was. And that Sutton was like, I'm not going to ask Kyle why she's not drinking. I'm not going to talk about it, because she is very much like, I don't want to talk about my drinking, which came out at the reunion too, right? And that I felt like I hated how it played out at the reunion.
Yeah.
I hated it being like, well, do you have a drinking problem? I don't know. I didn't say you had a drinking problem. I hate that so much, because it's that shame and it's that judgment of like, no, if you can't, I don't know, drink in an orderly fashion or drink the way we think one should drink, then you have a drink. I hated it.
It just, yeah, it was. And that's why, again, Kyle's, you know, journey was so powerful, and the fact that she put it all out there. She just, like, it wasn't making me happy.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't worth the hangover. It would take me multiple days to recover. And I was just over it. I was sick of the same old shit day after day. And I'm trying something different.
Yes. And it's interesting too, like how that, I don't know if it corresponds or came after her situation with Mauricio, and that we see as women like stop drinking and start figuring out how they feel and what they need. Like,
yep.
They make some big life changes. And like, you could see Kyle like really coming into her own and kind of like against Mauricio. And like when he tried to kiss her and she was like, don't kiss me like that. And he's like, I can kiss you any way I want to, which how that was.
When he was like, you can't get any more tattoos.
Right.
Her body, her choice.
And she's like, I could do whatever I want. Like you could really see her getting like, not giving a fuck what he wanted or how he felt. And because then she knows how she feels and what she needs. And then the whole Morgan situation, which like fascinates me.
I would say there was a moment when Portia came home and she's like, what's for dinner? And it's just like that moment as a mom where you just want to tell everybody to like eat a bowl of cereal and go out. You're like, I don't know, figure it out yourself. You know?
Yeah, like, I don't know, what are you cooking? And like, do you ask dad that? No, you ask me. Oh, yeah. It's so much. I love to watch Kyle's journey. I like went on a whole Instagram story rant. I think it was about after their Vegas trip. And I was like, oh my God, this is like so exactly how it goes. And they were just so confused and questioning and like really putting her under a microscope for making very great and healthy choices. And I tagged her in it and then she like hard eyed it. And I was like, okay.
It's, I think when you say, you know, the sober mom life appeals to so many people.
Yeah.
Sober mom, people yeah. with a life.
Yeah. See, it's really great for SEO. That's why I named it that. I'm like, what is a thing that people could search? That's literally why. I was like, well, no, can we just, yeah, yeah. See, that's what everyone says. They're like, I just searched sober mom. I was like, great. Oh my God. Yeah. I'm excited to watch. I feel like overall this season was, I mean, nothing really happened. Also Kyle losing her best friend.
Oh, yeah,
that's horrible. Wild that that didn't come out until like three or four episodes in. And we're like, oh, well, now it really makes her friends look like assholes. Like, why is she not drinking and trying to not feel depressed because her marriage is going through, you know, a hard time? But also she lost her best friend. Yeah. Like, hello.
There's two ways when you have these major life changes. There's only two ways to go. It's up or down.
Yeah,
and she could have very easily just kept on drinking and, you know, kind of spiraled further and further, becoming an empty nester, marriage on the rocks, you know, all of that. And she chose the other way. She said, I'm going to, you know, maybe take this one thing out of my life and see how that changes everything. And it did for the better.
Yeah, it's so true. And she looks amazing. Like she's never looked better.
Yeah.
Granted, like there's some face changes that she made, but still.
I mean, still. You tell me somebody on that bench who on that couch who hasn't had a little
I know.
Tuck, you know,
me, including me, but like I look way better because I had an eye lift. I had
two nose jobs.
You had two nose jobs. Wait, did we talk about that?
No.
Okay, no. You're like, no, that wasn't me. That was someone else with two nose jobs. It probably was though.
It was definitely me, but we didn't talk. I haven't like spoken about that yet. That's you know.
Two nose jobs. Why did one go wrong and then you had to get it fixed?
No. The first time I had a really
wait. Like, you know who this is making me think of? Jax. But okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, I did have a very deviated septum and like I would be very affected from dry heat. You know.
Oh yeah.
Plus a little bit of partying in college, and then. Nobody, the viewers can't see, but she was choked on her bubbly water.
I did. I almost see Jack. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah, it was a mixed both.
Yes. Yes, I get it. It's so funny. When we first sat down and you started, like, your story started unfolding, I was like, holy shit. You look so, like, just sweet. And not that you're not still sweet, but your story, you've got these gems, Katie, that I'm like, oh, my God, the life you have led. I love it.
I'm tired thinking about it, but it was fun. You know, I think, when we get to Summer House.
Yes. You know, okay. Should we dive in? Let's do Summer House.
Well, Summer House, I think, is one of my favorites because as somebody who, you know, lived in the city, like getting a share house in the summer in the Hamptons is a big deal. You know, we wouldn't do it every weekend, but there'd always be one weekend. We go out for 3 nights, a bunch of us. Like, it's a very relatable thing that trying to escape the heat and humidity of Manhattan.
Yeah.
And those beginning seasons, like watching it, I was like, oh yeah, like I all of this hits so hard, you know,
yeah.
The couples that are in relationships and then the single people and the going out and like, you know, and then now watching it when they're at this stage of life, that's a little more reflective of where I am too. You know, Kyle and Amanda are, I mean, it's funny. I always joke that like Kyle and Amanda kind of reminded me of parts, not of it, my husband and I, yeah. Where I would just be like, I'm tired, I'm going to bed. And he would just be eating in the kitchen, you know.
Talking to himself. Kyle's never. It's so funny because Kyle's the one who like doesn't want to grow up. Like, yeah. It's very clear.
My husband has grown up, so I can
say
that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where the comparison stops. But it's true. And it's so funny this past week's episode when Amanda was like, so many of my problems can be solved with a good night's sleep. I was like, yes.
That and is light. And she said, and light.
And light. And like, you know, fresh yes. air. And I get that too. Because I got kind of like itchy toward the end of living in the city. But it's true. But getting good night's sleep solves so many problems.
So, like all of them. Like, yeah. Getting a good night's sleep and having dew on your grass. That's all. Yeah. That's all you need.
Having somewhere to sit outside and have coffee.
It's funny though, because it feels like, I mean, Kyle's definitely not, he's not ready. And he asked Craig this week, he said, he was like, wait, so tell me about this no spirits thing, which is that's a journey Craig's on. And that was the first time Kyle's that I remember him even like mentioning how much he drinks.
Yeah.
And like looking at it.
There was a moment, it was either Winter House or Summer House, like one season where like Kyle was like, I can't do this another night. Mm. Like it was kind of a throwaway comment, but it was one of those things where I was like, oh, this guy is just tired and doesn't want to have to turn it on for the cameras one more night.
Yes. Well, because when he turns it on, he's like, he's the one who's like cranking the music and like send it more life. Okay, yeah. Do you know who I think is the sneaky one who drinks the most on that show?
Lindsay.
No.
Who?
Danielle. Because I just started – I was late to Summer House, and I just started binging it maybe like a year and a half ago. I like started, and I was recovering from, I think, my hysterectomy or something. And yeah. I just like did like 4 seasons in like – 3 days or something.
You got your PhD in Summer House real quick.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I did. And then I could just see Danielle. She never really gets wasted, but she's always drinking. Like morning beer. Danielle's all about a morning beer. Like it's wild to me.
I'll have to look for that. Cause again, we follow the sloppy, you know, in the story.
Totally. But. And I don't think she's really ever even been sloppy. Like on Summer House. So she kind of goes unnoticed. But when my husband and I started picking up on it, and now we just see it all the time. She's like always in the background pouring. She's drinking. She's like, when are we going to party? When are we going to go out? Let's drink. Let's start drinking. I was like, oh, Danielle. Okay. Okay. Carl and Lindsay.
You want to talk about the cycle.
Yeah.
You know, that was the immediate thing that came to mind. You know, when we talk about sort of the cycle of drinking, of it's the same story over and over.
Yes.
These past 2 weeks of them having the same fight, and you know it wasn't the first time they had that fight.
Totally.
It's just like exhausting.
And really like being unwilling, Lindsay in particular, like she does not want to look at that. Right? Like she's not ready to talk about her drinking. She doesn't want to look at it. And so alcohol is very clearly like the third thing in their relationship. It's Lindsay, Carl, and it's alcohol. And like, you can just see it. You can see when she's like turning, like it's kind of like Dorinda, like, oh no, here she goes, right? What did Luann say? Like, oh, here, what did she said? Something like, oh, she's turning or something. But it's true. Like Lindsay without alcohol seems lovely and mm-hmm. seems like very driven, like motivated, like she's got her shit together. But you can just see it. You could see her change.
It's so upsetting. Just, you know, like here's somebody who you started, you know, it was a relationship that started as a friendship and like, you know, grew into something more. And then what happened is what happens to everybody and every mm-hmm. couple, which is where you grow. And the again, are you growing together or are you growing apart?
Yeah.
And very clearly they grew apart because, spoiler alert, we already know the wedding isn't happening. But it's you know, it's sad to watch.
Mm-hmm. It is. Well, and they've tried this before. Remember, they were friends. And yeah. then they tried like dating, whatever that like, remember then they got into a fight on that balcony, on her balcony, that was alcohol related too. Mm-hmm. It feels like Carl is still trying to walk the line of like, look, no, I'm sober, but I'm still fun. I can still do this. Like I can still do a summer house where everyone's drinking except me. I can still go out. I don't care if you drink, Lindsay. Like I'm still fun. When really, I think if he like stopped and was like, hold on, what, how do I feel and what do I need? Oh, like it's very clear to me that he does not want her to drink. Like, it's not good for him.
Yeah, I think a lot of people listening to the podcast, whether you're sober or sober curious or your spouse is sober or whatever, like, you know, being the sober person, like, the last thing you want to do is crawl into bed with somebody who's been drinking or, like, yes. you can't have a rational conversation with. Like, that disconnect is very real.
Yeah.
And it's such a roadblock to so many things. Progressing your relationship, just emotions, communication, all of these things. And I think, could Carl be in the summer house without Lindsay and be perfectly fine? Yes, because everyone's supportive and no one's going to give him a hard time if he wants to go to bed at 10:30 because he's had a really long week. Like, that's a very relatable thing. I also think it's, you know, he's showing that, and by no, like, there's plenty of shit he's doing where I'm like, dude, like, you don't need to point out that it was an Uber and not a Lyft or whatever.
That's
you
know? So funny. You know, like, she's like, when we had the Uber, he's like, it was a Lyft. I'm like, oh,
totally. But what I like to see is that you can still, not drinking doesn't mean the end of having a life.
Totally.
You know? Like, your real friend is still going to be there. You can still go out and, like, play Flip Club if you want with, you know, non-alcoholic beer or seltzer. Like, you can still do these things if you want. They were all shotgunning on the beach and he was like, I have a sparkling water, like a bubbly or whatever.
Which also the idea of shotgunning a bubbly. Are you kidding me? Wait.
Just burp everywhere.
I don't think you can you? I think that's like physically impossible. Yeah.
No, I know what I'm going to try later.
Yeah, we're going to get wild.
It's just, you know, just all in all, the cycle.
It's not good. And then when he got pissed and he was like, if I'll light this fucking place on fire. And then he decided to litter. like that, like, yeah, it's not good.
No.
And it is like so uncomfortable to watch, but I also love watching it. The yeah. Summer House, I think, is my favorite of all Bravo shows. It's always been my favorite, more than Vanderpump Rules. I think more than like any Housewives. It's just my favorite. I don't know why. I don't know if it was because I did that deep dive and yeah. like binged it, or I really like Kyle and Carl. Like, just as the girls, I don't know.
Paige has grown on me. I really like Paige.
See, I did the opposite. I loved Paige. Like, in her yeah. first couple seasons when she'd be like, it's a matching set. It's on sale. You know, like when she did her, like, I liked that. For some reason, I don't know. Also, I do think she does have the worst fashion. That's who I was trying to think about before, which is so funny because she's like.
There's a lot of reasons why I've grown to like her.
Yeah.
But I think a great example was this past week when she and Craig were looking at apartments and he's like, well, I'll contribute. And she's like, no,
yes.
Like, I don't think calling the shots in a place where I live. Like, I'm like, she is a badass independent woman.
Yes. You know, I love she's that.
Speak her mind. Like, clearly she will say what she wants, but also she understands the importance of compromise in a relationship. Like, yes. It's that fine line. And also, you know, that's a good example. All I see from them is what I see on TV and social media.
Yeah.
But that's an example of a couple who at least is trying to grow together and figure it out versus digging their heels in on all the wrong things. So that's nice to see.
That's so true. And Craig has grown so much.
Yeah. Rewatched Southern Charm before the new season started. The evolution of Craig has been really interesting to watch. I think it was last season or the season before where he the first time I ever heard anybody order non-alcoholic beer on that show and then be like, because I have stuff I have to do in the morning.
Ooh, you know? Oh, yes. Craigie. Oh, with Paige not wanting Craig to like contribute to her apartment. Okay, don't forget that it was literally like two episodes ago, maybe a episode ago, Anne, that he wanted to buy like a horse or no, a racing team or a rugby team. Like, I feel like Craig is not, he's still that like Peter Pan boy a little bit and not, he, I don't think he's good with money. I think he's like, I think he's, yeah.
A little all over the map.
He is. Yeah. He's all over the map.
That's also why I think I've liked Paige this season too, where she's like, you know, I'm already raising one child.
Okay, I know. That blows my mind. Like, for, I don't know. I can't imagine saying that about my husband. Like, I don't ever want to like infantilize my partner. Like, I don't think that's good for him. Or for me? I don't know.
I think this is, relationships are yin and yang. You know, it's always a balance. So I think that, and also maybe he brings out like a more playful side of her. Like, you know, a bit, yes, of a goofy side. Don't take yourself too seriously. Again, I don't know.
I think they're a good match. I do think, yeah, they're a good match. And I think she keeps him on his toes, which is something, yeah, I think he needs.
Yes.
Yeah, but Carl and Lindsay, RIP, but it's good. It's funny too when we found out that he broke it off before this season, right? Yeah. He was getting all the backlash online. And now, oof, the tides have turned because everyone is like Team Carl.
I mean, as soon as I saw they had broken it off, I think anybody, again, who's familiar with like the journey of stopping drinking and being in a relationship was probably like, oh, right, this is...
Yeah.
Probably what it was.
This is what it was. Yeah. But yeah, then to see it play out.
Ooh. Yeah. It's,
and I wonder if she is, if it causes her at all to say like, oh, hold on. Because this is also, this is not the first time we've seen Lindsay act like this, right? Yeah. Like, this is kind of the MO when she drinks. And so that's one of the things about being on reality shows. Like, you're going to see that. And how do you not take that into account, I guess?
That's another thing too. These shows can be really, I think, they're a time capsule of you.
Yes.
Sure, you cannot watch them back, or you can and say, okay, where were things where maybe I made a mistake or should have acted differently, and don't. And yes, you can say, oh, well, it's all about how it's edited. But I think the person who knows what actually happened is you.
Yes.
You know when you're seeing problematic behavior in yourself, or you like to think you'll know.
Totally. But also this is not editing. Like, you can, yeah, tell. This is, yeah, just, this, yeah, is not like Laguna Beach editing, The Hills editing. Like, you're on screen saying these things. The thing that does suck is the two times that it happened that Lindsay said, what are you on? And you're on something that was not on camera. And I'm like, can, yeah, we get a camera in the Uber/Lyft? Like, can we, like, what?
Well, again, this is a great question that I should ask somebody, being like, what if the bars close at 2, like, can you have somebody working with a van, you know, to say, okay, we're taking everybody back to the house.
Right.
Or is it because everybody sort of leaves whenever they want?
But then you would think they still, are they really just like calling their own Uber or their own Lyft?
I mean,
I guess, are they?
Because I know they're obviously not allowed to film at these bars.
Yeah, other than their iPhone camera.
you know, yeah. But then also you have to, you know, keep in mind that like there's only so many members on a crew and you can't have people working around the clock, fixed rig situations where, yeah,
even if it's the Lord's work.
What?
So even if it's the Lord's work to capture these fights. Oh, God.
I was like, wait, what?
You were like, don't bring God into this.
No, I was just very confused. But I don't know.
How far away is, have you been to where they are?
Yeah.
Yeah. How far away is the bar from the house, you think?
It depends. I mean, like the thing with the Hamptons, why it's funny, Lindsay was walking on the road by herself.
It almost got hit by a mail truck.
Yeah, it is very wooded. It's very isolated. Like, yeah, there's pockets of towns along the way. Yeah. But for the most part, everything is pretty much, you know, hidden in a backcountry wooded sort of area.
Okay.
It's not something you can, like, quickly walk to. I was definitely walking on the side of the road with no sidewalk. I know these streets.
We need evidence. Like, I want to see, like, even though I just believe Carl, just – because he's the sober one. I mean, are we going to believe the one who is sober or the one who is wasted?
I can believe that his annoyance level was very real.
Totally.
And he was probably very short with her because it's annoying to talk to a drunk person.
Yes. When you're sober. I just can't imagine questioning my partner's, the thing that is most precious, right?
Yeah.
Like, again, like twice. I can't imagine. Like, that's oof. Okay, Vanderpump. Vanderpump. Oh my God, Vanderpump. Overall, I feel like it's kind of a boring season, but I haven't hated it.
Yeah, right. This is a weird one because everybody's just there to kind of check out the fallout of Scandoval.
Right.
And like, you have the Ariana Katie camp, and then you have sort of everybody else.
Yeah.
And the more interesting part for me has been the everybody else, you know, to see how the dynamics and the relationships are changing. And it's interesting too, because like, you know, you see all these articles coming about how younger generations are drinking less and they're more aware of like sober curious and blah, blah, blah. And you see that reflected a bit with the cast. And then when you look at some of the housewives who do tend to be older, like it's just that generational divide. Yes. Very obvious, yeah. I think. That a summer house, of course, throws that all out the window. But
No, but they're also on the old, like Kyle's 41 on summer house or 42, right? And so like, yeah. But yes, if you look at like, I think of Dorinda, Ramona, and Sonia immediately, right? Yeah. And then you compare them to like a Sheena. I mean, even Tom Schwartz is talking about because of his brother having like how that's heartbreaking. And so he's talking about it. Sandoval. I mean,
Schwartz is like the ultimate, I feel like, not digging into the real issues and just trying to gloss it over by being the fun one.
Yes.
And it's like, dude, you're going through some real shit. I understand you don't want to be vulnerable by talking about it, but you've already opened up your entire life for like 12 years or whatever on the show. That's another year or two.
Yeah. He doesn't really ever talk about stuff. And Katie's like super emo and deep, you can tell. And mm-hmm. So like that was, yeah, that wasn't a good match. Still, the whole like Katie Ariana thing, it's coming off mean girlish, even though, I don't know, I struggle. I know we're supposed to be like Team Ariana all the way, but I'm struggling.
This is a no-win situation.
It's true, yeah. But they have to, I mean, for the show, right? Like, I'm sorry, but it's not that interesting for me to watch Katie and Ariana and like Chef Penny interview people. Like,
yeah,
you know, and then roll their eyes when Sheena calls. Like,
yeah,
that's not really why we're here.
I do feel for Sheena because I think she's somebody,
totally.
You know, I think people says, oh, well, she always wants to go. She's like follows the trends and wants to be friends with everybody. And like, I don't think wanting to be friends with everybody is necessarily a bad thing.
No, I've always loved her. And I think when she sat Ariana down and she's like, let's just say like in 25 years, and by 25 mm-hmm. years, I mean 2025. Like if I just decided, I think Ariana would get, I don't know if she could just like have some level of understanding and say like, yeah, I totally get it. That does suck for you, because yeah. It does suck for Sheena. They were best friends.
Yeah. I don't think she has to be okay with, she doesn't have to be okay with it.
Like she never will be.
But she yeah. also recognizes that Sheena is her own person and can make her own decisions. And if she chooses to shut Sheena out because of that yeah. decision, that's a loss for Ariana.
Exactly. Yes. Because Sheena's been ride or die. Sheena's, mm-hmm. that's what she is. She's a ride or die. She's been ride or die for everybody. I absolutely applauded her, and I was going to reach out on social when she opened up about her postpartum OCD, because I had that and I have OCD, which I did not know. I thought mine was only postpartum OCD, and it turns out then when I went off my meds, like the intrusive thoughts came rushing back, and so I'm just on them forever. I've never heard anyone say postpartum OCD on a reality show, let alone on any yeah. show. And so when she said that, and when she was explaining it to her, and you can see like her and Brock, and because it's hard for a partner to manage it because it's not a logical thing, I was like, yes, like thank God someone's talking about it and that she is not drinking because of it. Like that's huge. I think for new moms who are watching this to have an example of like, oh, holy shit, it's not normal to have intrusive thoughts that are ruling your brain, and like cutting alcohol out can help. Like that was huge.
Yeah. I did send her a message.
Yeah.
Because I had bad postpartum depression and I started taking Zoloft. But it also never dawned on me that if I'm taking an antidepressant, I probably shouldn't be consuming a depressant. But I get to see Sheena talk about it. I hadn't seen that on any other show before.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, and you would think that it would be easy for her not to, right? Not to mention it and just to like skate by and like she looks great, looks like her life is great. But for her to open up about it and like how hard it is to leave Summer Moon and all of that, I was just like, yes, like that. More of that, please.
Yeah.
Oh, who else? Do we leave any? Oh my God, Sandoval's assistant. Hold on. I love
Anne.
Anne. Oh my God, Anne. Like, Anne better be getting paid so much. And I fear she's not. Like, I love Anne.
Yeah.
And all the shit she's having to deal with.
I hear she's working for Ariana now.
Wait, she is?
I had heard that somewhere.
That's hilarious.
Do it at Anne.
And Ariana just bought a house too, right? She's finally out of there.
Good for her.
Right. I mean, always having to walk by that Lego piece of their two faces together. You know what I'm talking about?
But yeah, no, that I would have thought when the artist offered to redo the Lego piece.
Yes.
Absolutely. That would be amazing.
Yes. Or also just like smash it. Because how are you smashing the wooden penis flute thing? And you're not smashing that? Like what? That's a missed opportunity.
Yeah, but somebody worked really hard on that Lego piece. And I know somebody probably also worked hard on the penis flute, but like.
Somebody worked really hard on that penis flute that they fixed. Somebody fixed it, right? And then it's back up?
Tom did, I guess.
Oh, so my God.
More realistically, Anne did.
Anne did. See, we all need an Anne, but we all need to pay Anne really well because she's doing a lot of work.
I just want to mention Toot Lala, who yes, has grown on me. A ton. I think she just like has done so much work and introspection and all that reflection. And again, watching these shows as a fan, you know, and just sort of a viewer, to then see how they take that information and choose to convey it on screen.
Yes.
That's where you're like, okay, I can see that there's work happening.
Totally. And the fact that she's talking about like, I want to get softer. Like I want to get softer and I don't want to come from this defensive place. Like it was also funny when she was like, I don't know what the hell Sober Curious is. Like she, you could tell she's very like old school AA. Like yeah. She's like in it when Tom Schwartz was like sober cure. She's like, I don't know what the hell that is. You're either sober or you're not. I'm like, oh, well, that's old. But
James is like, I'm not drinking, but I'm going to have these three weed seltzers.
And I'm going to shotgun them. James, I have always had a soft spot for James. I think it's because he's really funny. Like he is hysterical, even though, you know, he's not the best guy.
Yeah.
He hasn't been. But he's just so damn funny. Like when he was talking about who was at Sandoval's party and he's like, who is this guy?
Like, who's talking it's to little him? Brother energy. Like he brings that little brother. Like he's peeing outside the house and Alan's like, stop. Like that's
Ariana's bush too. And Allie is just like this like doe-eyed like, and I love Joe. I think we're supposed to hate her.
I don't hear it. I think she and sports are like a match.
Right? You know? And she was talking about Charlie, her Ninja Turtle. That was hilarious.
You want somebody who compliments you and you know, makes you happy. Like the first thing that I feel like somebody should really love about their partner is if they make them laugh.
Yes. Yes.
Because if you can make each other laugh, like you can get through a lot of things.
Yes.
Then there's communication and so many other things that fall into place. But like, is this somebody who makes you feel your happiest?
Yeah. And you can like enjoy and you can tell that they like enjoy each other. And he and Katie never enjoyed each other.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is so fun. Let's do this again for real.
I would love that. We have to talk about Southern Charm. Yes. Like,
what's coming? Because Bev Hills is over. What's next?
Beverly Hills is over. I feel like Jersey's coming down the pike.
Oh, and Potomac.
The Valley.
Did you watch?
Have had so much anxiety watching the pool party because all I could think about, and this is something we can definitely talk about later, but exactly.
Yes.
It was a party situation, not quite that extravagant, but was my final day of drinking because I was like, I don't want to be this parent. So that brought up a lot of feelings.
Yes. It's so crazy that you said that because as I was watching that, it brought up feelings of me when I was the kid and my dad would host these like huge parties and I was older because their kid and seeing that kid in the pool and sure he had floaties on, but like no one was next to him. Yes. It was so uncomfortable. It's a hot mess. Jax?
So next time on Sobriety.
Yes, we're going to do this again. Okay, we'll talk about the Valley. And then we'll have more episodes under our belt. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is great. Yay. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Sober Mom Life. If you loved it, please rate and review it wherever you listen. 5 stars is amazing. Also, follow me on Instagram at...
It's easy to blame ourselves for our struggles with alcohol. We see people around us being able to control their drinking without any consequences, yet no matter what we try, we can't seem to figure it out for ourselves. My name is Jillian Teets, and I am the host of the Sober Powered Podcast, where I use my biochemistry background to explain the latest research in addiction and help you understand both why you drink the way you do and how to develop the skills and mindset you need to find freedom from alcohol. I discuss topics like why we think about our drinking 24/7, why we have no off switch, and why we crave alcohol. If you're struggling with your drinking or you know someone who is, then I hope that you will check out the Sober Powered Podcast. New episodes every Friday. See you there.